I would invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55, if you're looking in the red Bibles, you can find the page reference in the bulletin. Isaiah 55 is probably one of the better known passages, chapters in Isaiah, certainly also one of the most loved passages in Isaiah. It also forms the end of a section that we've been looking at, chapters 40 through 55, which means that next week we'll begin chapter 56, which 56 to 66 is the final last major section of Isaiah that we will be entering into. Today we're looking at Isaiah 55, so please follow along as I read to you God's Word. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live. And I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you especially this morning for this part of your word. We pray that you would prepare our hearts and our minds and be at work through the Holy Spirit to take your word and press it into us. Form us, shape us into the people you desire us to be. Help us to see the Lord Jesus Christ today, for we ask it in his name. Amen. 1914, just prior to when World War I would begin, the famous British explorer Ernest Shackleton put out an ad. He put out an invitation. He was recruiting men for an Antarctic expedition. And the invitation read something like this: men wanted for hazardous journey, small wages, bitter cold, long months of complete darkness, safe return doubtful, honor and recognition in case of success. Thousands of men applied. Why? Because the human heart responds to an opportunity of costly, challenging adventure. People are willing to risk their lives for excitement and glory and honor and recognition, a chance to do something historical and great. But these words that we've read here from Isaiah chapter 55 are a stark contrast to that mindset. Through the prophet Isaiah, the Lord places his own advertisement. He places his own invitation. You've heard it echoed throughout the service, and here it is in verse 1. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come and buy, eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. That's the invitation of the Lord. But this adventure, it won't be bitterly cold. It won't involve complete darkness. It won't have uncertainty of outcome. It won't result in the honor of those participating. This opportunity will come with grace and freedom and life. But unlike Shackleton's invitation, the invitation from the Lord is often ignored. Many are called, but few respond. People will show up and line up for hardship, but are hesitant at grace. People will exhaust and weary themselves pursuing things that cannot satisfy, but they will resist the free, fulfilling, satisfying grace of God. Shackleford offered danger and uncertainty and possible great cost, and men rushed to show up. The Lord offers grace and forgiveness, life and covenant love, and people drag their feet. Isaiah 55 tells us about the Lord's great adventure, or rather put his great invitation to the adventure. This invitation to a great party, the greatest party, the most glorious party, a party involving not only all of God's people in history, but even the creation itself. And we can imagine how encouraging it must have been for God's people who were sitting in exile in Babylon in the 6th century B.C., The picture that the Lord gives them in Isaiah 55 was meant to fill them with hope and encouragement and strength. And the same is true for God's people today. We're not in exile in the same way, but we are pilgrims who are living in a foreign land. We are sinners who are living in a fallen and broken world. And we too need to find hope and encouragement and strength to live and persevere through the trials and the troubles of life. So let's look at this chapter of Isaiah and see a few things. First of all, let's look at the invitation itself. Then we'll look at the basis of the invitation, the response to the invitation, the efficacy of the invitation, and the result of the invitation. We'll finish by reflecting on what all this means for us today. So first of all, the invitation itself. You can see that in the first couple of verses. Four times in the first three verses, the Lord says, "Come." And in verse 2, he says, "Listen diligently to me." And in verse 3, he says, "Incline your ear and come to me." This is the invitation. The invitation from the Lord is to come to him, to listen to him, and incline your ear and come to the Lord. And notice here, we're told that the invitation, it comes without any cost. Verse 1, "He who has no money, come, buy, and eat." The invitation is given without money, without price, without cost. The Lord's invitation is free. You can't buy it, you can't earn it, and you can't work for it. It's free, and it is to be received without cost. The great party of the Lord is free. You only have to receive the invitation and come to the Lord. And notice, we're even given some thoughts about what the goods are at the party in verses 1 and 2. Water and bread, indicating the basic necessities of life, are provided. But notice also, it's not just water and bread. It's also wine and milk and rich food. Luxuries. Heaven is not just a place where our bare necessities will be provided for us. It is a place of great luxuries that will be enjoyed. There is an alternative if you don't want to go to the party. You can see the alternative to coming to the Lord, answering the invitation and going to the party, the beginning of verse 2. You end up with that doesn't satisfy. You end up with that which is not satisfying. It is empty. It is unfulfilled. This is the invitation to the Lord's party. Come to the Lord, he says. His party provides everything that we need and more. And the alternative, it's not being satisfied or fulfilled. Well, what's the basis for the invitation? We see that in verses 3 through 5. Verse 3, the basis or the reason for the invitation is the everlasting covenant that God has with his people. That's what he says. The covenant that is based on his steadfast, sure love. Some of you probably know that the word that is used there for love is the Hebrew word hesed. That's a special word in the Old Testament. It indicates God's special covenant-based love for his people. This is why the Lord invites his people to the party, because he has loved them from before the foundation of the world. And he has demonstrated his love for his people first in the Old Testament by establishing a covenant relationship with them, giving them a covenant promise that he would be their God and they would be his people. A covenant promise that he would provide a redeemer to save his people from his sins. And he has demonstrated his love in the New Testament with the arrival of that redeemer, Jesus Christ. Jesus demonstrated the extent of his love by living the life that we were supposed to live but don't, and then dying the death that we deserve to die by being crucified on the cross, by taking the wrath of God upon himself and paying for our sins in full and crediting us with his righteousness. This is the reason for our invitation, God's everlasting covenant, his sure, his certain love for his people. And notice here in verses 4 and 5, this everlasting covenant, it's not just for Israel. He says the nations will come. Nations will come to be a part of God's people. They will come to be part of the party. Not only is this an everlasting covenant, it is a global covenant. This party, it will have people from every nation and tribe and ethnicity and language. The Lord is clear, as we look at verses 6 through 9, there must be a response to the invitation. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. It's free. It comes to us without cost, but it has to be responded to. And notice in verse 6, there's an urgency. Seek the Lord while he can be found. Come to the Lord while he is still near. This invitation, it doesn't last forever. There will come a time when the invitation is no longer available, when the Lord won't be near. He won't be found. And so we have here a reminder and a warning to those who have not yet accepted the invitation, who have not yet come to the Lord. A day is coming when you will die or when the Lord will return, and that day could be today. It could be tomorrow. We don't know, but when that moment arrives, it's too late to accept the invitation. So the Lord says, seek the Lord while he can be found, call on him and come to him while he is near. Notice the proper response to the invitation at the beginning of verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord. Accepting the invitation, coming to the Lord, it involves a change in our ways and our thoughts. When we accept the invitation, we are not to stay the same. Our ways, our thoughts that he says in verses 8 and 9 are not like God's ways. Our ways and our thoughts are to become more and more like his ways and thoughts. This is what repentance is all about, that we turn away from our ways and our thoughts that are not according to what God wants. And we turn to the Lord, we return to the Lord, forsaking our wrong ways and thoughts and following his ways and thoughts. And notice here, the good news is that when we do that, the end of verse 7, let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. When we return to the Lord, he has compassion on us and he abundantly pardons. Not partially pardons, not halfway pardons. No, he abundantly pardons his people. He treats his people with compassionate forgiveness. This is the proper response to the Lord's invitation. Come to him. Listen to him. Incline your ears to him and come to him. And do so while the invitation is available. Do so by turning away from our wrong ways and our wrong thoughts. And as you do, come to the Lord and experience his compassion, his abundant pardon, his compassionate forgiveness. Just to underscore the truth of God's promise to us, in verses 10 and 11, he reminds us of the efficacy of the invitation. That he reminds us of the Lord's complete ability to accomplish his plan and purposes. Look at what he says in verses 10 and 11. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower, bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. The Lord's word shall not return empty. It will accomplish what it purposes. It shall succeed in its goal. He uses this illustration in verse 10 from nature, the idea of rain and snow coming down and covering the earth, just like it did yesterday. It doesn't go back up into the sky, but it eventually melts and waters the earth, enabling things to sprout forth in the spring and produce a bounty. So too with God's word, it is efficacious, it is effective. It will accomplish God's purposes and produce a bounty. There is no worry that God won't be able to get all of the invitations out. There's no worry that he won't be able to provide for the party. There's no worry that once an invitation is accepted, the Lord will reject the one who comes to the party. The invitation, his word, it is efficacious. It accomplishes what he intends. It accomplishes what he desires and wills. Lastly, the result of the invitation, or a description of what the party is going to be like. Look at verses 12 and 13. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Look at this wonderful description of the party. There will be joy, there will be peace, there will be singing. There will be clapping of hands. This is a picture of complete happiness, of utter contentment and satisfaction and fulfillment. We know from other places in the Scripture, for example, towards the end of Revelation, in Revelation chapter 21, that at the party in heaven, there are no more tears. There is no more death. There's no more mourning or grieving. No crying. No more pain, because those things will have passed away, and in their place will be joy and peace and singing and happiness and satisfaction and unhindered love. And notice the Lord says, not only God's people will be at peace and will rejoice, but he says the mountains, the hills will break into singing. The trees of the field will clap their hands. Verse 13, instead of thorns and briars, there will be cypress and myrtle. This is a picture of the curse being removed. Being removed from God's people. Being removed from all of creation. It reminds us of what Paul said in Romans chapter 8. For the creation was subjected to futility. Not willingly because of him who subjected it. Not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth. But the Lord reminds his people here that when we get to the party, the curse will have been removed for God's people and for all of creation. This is the result of accepting the invitation. Joy, peace, singing, clapping for all of those at the party and even creation itself. Well, what do we do with this today? Three things. The first takeaway is the obvious one. Have you accepted the invitation? Have you accepted the invitation to come to the Lord, to listen to him, to go to the party? If not, then remember the urgency and the warning of Isaiah 55. The Lord's invitation isn't offered forever. There will come a time when it won't be available anymore. Hear the call. Hear the invitation. Seek the Lord and call on Him while He can be found and He is near. Come to the Lord and put your hope and trust in Him. Remember that this invitation is free. There is nothing that you can do to earn it or to buy it. You just have to accept it by putting your faith in the host of the party, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's free for you because Jesus already paid for it. He paid for it with His life and by His death. He died so that those who believe in Him and come to Him get life eternal. They get the rest that is theirs at the party. Have you responded to the invitation? Secondly, the efficacy of God's work. The efficacy of God's work. How encouraging it must have been for God's people that heard Isaiah's words for the first time to hear about the efficacy of God's work, of His plan. That His word, that His promises, they never return empty. They always accomplish what He is intending to do. That when He said that He would rescue and redeem His people from exile and bring them back to the promised land, He fulfilled that because He said it. And the efficacy of God's work is meant to encourage God's people today as well. It's meant to fill us with strength too. What has the Lord said in His word? What has He promised to us? He has promised that Jesus' work on the cross is sufficient. That it actually accomplished the redemption and salvation for His people. Our salvation, our redemption, our forgiveness of sins, our acceptance with God, our entrance to the party, all of those are secured by the very word of God. So when we have moments of worry and doubt, how could that actually be true for me? We come back to this wonderful truth. The Lord's work in redemptive history, the Lord's work on the cross, the Lord's work in our lives, it is efficacious. It is effective. It accomplishes all that the Lord intends. And can I just say that this truth should be particularly encouraging if you are a parent who has a child that's walked away from the Lord. Those children are not beyond the Lord's reach. As long as they are drawing breath and the Lord hasn't returned, there is always hope that they too will return to the Lord. The efficacy of the Lord's work moves us to persevere in prayer for our loved ones who have walked away from the Lord. Thirdly and lastly, this description of the party should fill us with hope. The description here in Isaiah 55, the description in other places of the Scripture, that's meant to fill us with hope. It's meant to fill us with strength. As we read about the future party that we are going to, it helps us to live in the present. This world is filled with evil and wickedness and injustice and sin and death. We're living in a world that has been impacted by the fall in every aspect of life. And dealing what we have to deal with in this world, in this life, it can discourage us. It can disillusion us. It can depress us. And in those moments, we should come back to what the Scriptures tell us about the future party that we are heading to. Reflect on it. Meditate on those descriptions and on those truths. The reality of the future party should give us hope and strength and perseverance in the present. In the midst of our trials, our hardships, our challenges, and our difficulties of this world. Have you responded to the invitation? Are you encouraged by the efficacy of God's work? Hope in the party. Let's pray together. Father, it is easy to get discouraged in this life. It is easy to feel weary and burdened by our own sin and the sin of this world, the effects of the fall in so many ways. We pray, Father, that through Your word, through the work of the Holy Spirit, You would fill us with a hope. You would fill us with a strength that we might persevere. That we too would remember that great promise that You made to Your people in the New Testament through the Apostle Paul, that The one who has begun a good work in us is going to bring it to completion. When we have moments of doubt that that could be true, when we have moments of worry and anxiety, we pray that you would bring us back to these wonderful truths, that you would remind us about the party, that you would remind us about your efficacious work. We thank you for your grace and mercy to us in extending an invitation to come to the party. We thank you for enabling us to respond to that invitation through the work of your Spirit. And we pray, Father, that you would continue to be at work in us. Fill us with the hope that we need, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.